This is number 43, TJ Brennan. Listen to all the Phantoms games with Bob Rotruck.
It's the Phantoms Report. I'm Bob Rotruck. Coming up, we hear from head coach Scott Gordon and also Anthony Stolarz, back with the team in practices, but not ready for games yet. Hopefully soon. Also, Nicholas Obey-Cubell, who's been one of the Phantoms' best players in 2018. The Lehigh Valley Phantoms are the hottest and arguably the best team in the American Hockey League. Head coach Scott Gordon is putting the right pieces in the right places, and with 83 points right now at 38-15-7, Lehigh Valley has the most points in the AHL. Four-game win streak and also points in 12 of the last 13 games for a record of 11-1-1. This Friday against Bridgeport, the Phantoms will be looking to extend a 12-game home ice point streak to lucky 13. The Phantoms have not lost in regulation at home in almost 2 months. You have to go all the way back to January 12th. Reporters and broadcasters and other coaches and players around the league, when asked to name a Calder Cup favorite, well, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms are at or near the very top of the list for pretty much everyone, and it's awfully exciting. And it was certainly exciting throughout the course of the team's three-game stretch this weekend, but it didn't look that good to start, however. The Phantoms were almost run out of their own building last Friday night when Hershey raced out to a 5-1 lead in the first period. Ugly with a capital U. And their worst period of the year. That's what it looked like to me, and that's what assistant coach Kerry Huffman and head coach Scott Gordon said about it at different times when asked about that first period. Uncharacteristic, terrible turnovers, failed zone exits, practically passing directly to the wrong team. Sometimes it was that bad. Thankfully, still 40 minutes left, and the Phantoms staged an incredible comeback and a 7-6 win. Wow, incredible it was. Nicholas Obey-Cubell sparked the comeback in the second period and the big scoring surge that began with his goal that made it a 5-2 game. And then later on in the third period, Nick Obey-Cubell again capping the comeback in the third with the winner. Carried out by Riley Barber, one of 12 different goal scorers tonight. Obey-Cubell finds the puck and through the red line. The goalie all over him. Obey-Cubell out-muscled him, shakes him off. DeHaas is in on the backhand. A save, rebound, score! Obey-Cubell put it in through Phoenix Copley. 6:59 to go. For the first time tonight, the Phantoms have the lead. It is 7-6. The second goal of the game for Nicholas Obey-Cubell is his 17th of the year. And the Phantoms, who were down by 4 to begin, now have the lead. It is 7-6. An incredible comeback for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
Obey-Cubell was the number one star of the game, and deservedly so. Two goals and one assist in that epic comeback and 7-6 final. 40 points this year for Obey-Cubell is impressive for the second-year pro, who only had 18 points last year. But let's not forget that Obey-Cubell doesn't even play on the power play. 39 of his 40 points have been 5-on-5. And in fact, he leads the entire AHL in 5-on-5 points with 39. One ahead of teammate Phil Veroni, who has 38 at 5-on-5, but he also leads the AHL in total points with 57. Here's another stat I think is pretty incredible for Obey-Cubell. His 39 points at 5-on-5, 33 of those 39 points have been primary points, meaning he scored the goal or was the first assist. 33 primary points at 5-on-5 is also tops the entire American Hockey League. You know he's been garnering attention. You know he's been having a good season, but in the 5-on-5 categories, which aren't widely publicized, he's actually top in the entire American Hockey League. That's how good Nick Obey-Cubell is and has been this year, especially since January 1st, or maybe a little earlier than that. When Ryan Hextall says there are a couple of kids he feels could be ready to step in with Philadelphia if they have the need, I think Obey-Cubell has to be one of the players he's referring to. Head coach Scott Gordon has said that Obey-Cubell has turned a corner in his career somewhere before the new year, and since then has probably been the team's best forward. Amazing strides made for a guy who was trying to figure it out last year, and at his moments where he looked kind of lost, was even a healthy scratch. Obey-Cubell was as thrilled as anyone with that terrific comeback win on Friday against Hershey, and talked about it with the media after the game.
That's a pretty wild game. What was the thought when you guys were down 5-1 there in the first period, or even after the first period?
We know we have a good offensive team, and I know that Hershey happens a lot that they get that lead, destroyed by the other team. I don't know how to say it, but so we knew we could do it, and we got lucky bounces in the second period and lucky goals, and it was always like keep going, and then we saw our chance, and then we got it.
So there was never a thought where you guys were out of it, maybe?
I don't think so. For me, I thought it was possible. 4 goals, and then especially with our team, offensive we have, and yeah, it shows a lot of character.
You started to come back there a little bit. You got the Phantom's second goal to make it 5-2. Did you feel then the things started to turn your way? Was that like the big turning point, do you think, for you guys? Because they scored a couple after that.
Yeah,
back and forth.
Exactly. Well, a lot of lucky bounces, and then we're like, oh, we're in there. So then we scored 6-5 before the end of the period, and then we're buzzing. I think we're all over them. And, yeah.
So not only do you get things kind of started there, you were also able to cap it off at the end. What was that like to not only start it, but then cap it off, then to get the final goal?
Yeah, I got the puck on the goal line. It was easy for me to tap it in. I mean, Marty made a very good pass to James, and James a good shot. I just had to tap in the rebound.
What do you think a win like this? I know the Bears are lower in the standings, but still to come back from a 5-1 deficit and win against any team is tough. What do you think this can do for a team's confidence? I know this is already a confident team, but
yeah, it shows we have a lot of character in this in the locker room. I told that after the game. It's very good for a playoff. Like if we're trailing in playoff, it doesn't matter. We know we can't come back, and we knew before the game. Like even the standing, even the Bears are last. I mean, Bears and us, it's always a rivalry. It's always tough games.
What a great turnaround just from 1 year to the next for Nicholas Obey-Cubell. That's the path I also envision for many of the other young prospects. Misha Vorobiev maybe turned a corner just this season as well in just this past weekend for the Phantoms. I think they were his best games with Lehigh Valley, and the stats showed it too. 2 goals and 2 assists for 4 points in the 3 games this weekend for Vorobiev. On Sunday at Hershey, a tying goal in the second period, and then a shootout winner in the 5th round. Phil Myers will try it again. A slapper hit off the body of Langlois. Out in front, Vorobiev scores! Misha Vorobiev with a long rebound. Dropped right to him. Snaps it to the upper left corner. Vorobiev has goals in back-to-back games. That's his 7th of the year. The Russian rookie, 21-year-old Misha Vorobiev, snipes high right shoulder on Phoenix Copley with 6:04 to go in the second. We're tied at 2-2. Don't overlook the contributions of Phil Myers on that shift. Wonderful stuff, and he won't even get a point on that play because Vecchione, from the side of the net, flipped it between his legs back to Bargeau, who in turn flipped it between his legs on a little touch for Vorobiev. What wonderful communication for a brand new combo there. Vecchione to Bargeau, back to Vorobiev, and Phil Myers deserves an assist there. Vorobiev with a chance for the winner now. Wouldn't that be something? He almost set up Veroni on the breakaway winner. Here comes Misha, the Russian rookie, and he scores! Misha Vorobiev powers it through 5-hole. It's the shootout winner in the 5th round for Misha Vorobiev. The Phantoms win 3-2. 4-game win streak for the Phantoms, and head coach Scott Gordon is certainly pleased with what he's seeing from the Phantoms and young Russian rookie Misha Vorobiev. That was one of several topics he addressed at the conclusion of another good win on Sunday that wrapped up another successful weekend for the Phantoms.
The big thing with him is I think he's just getting acclimated now on everything. You know, like there's been bits and pieces that have been coming around for him, and the mistakes or the reads and the things that he was doing that wasn't really giving him a whole lot of offense is now starting to he's starting to get to the point now where he's not making the same mistakes that he was before, and I think his confidence to play in the smaller sheets getting better every game, and you know, like he's a smart player, and he makes plays, and you know, you don't want to ever say you know, tell a guy he can't make a play, and we had kind of had to battle that a little bit at the beginning of the year because we, you know he can make the plays, a lot of great plays, and his skill level of passing is, you know, probably the best on our team, but he still had to find the right times to do it, and I think he's doing, you know, when's the right time, when's the wrong time to try to, you know, maybe make a play that's forced or make a play that's a little bit harder than, you know, the right play.
So you sort of had to piece together a lineup here last second with Mac out and Obey-Cubell. Sort of difficult with the 11-7 to sort of, you know, shuffle the line because you're shuffling the lines pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, I didn't really go with much line combination. I just put, you know, the guys, especially the third period, we went down to almost 9 forwards and spotted the 10th forward here and there. But, you know, I wanted And I told the guys who, through two periods, you know, we're going to go with the guys that are going, and that's what we did.
Now, is this pretty much the blueprint here for the next couple of weeks? I know it's 3-3s the next couple of weeks. Is this sort of, I mean, obviously you want 6 out of 6 every weekend, but is this sort of the recipe for success you're looking for in these next 3-3s?
Yeah, it's not easy to get, you know, the sweep on 3-3. And, you know, it's funny how that goes because we're down 5-1 Friday night. And not looking very prosperous, and then you're playing a team in Binghamton who's been playing really well, and 0-0 halfway through that game, and you're wondering which way that's going to go, and then you think about it, and you lose Friday night, and then all of a sudden you have a battle on your hands Saturday night, and you come back here, you know, it can very quickly be 0-3. So I think we kept our focus even on Friday night when we got down 5-1. We didn't take the foot off the pedal. And as a result, we started the weekend off the right way.
What do you think of John Muse? Obviously, he didn't have the start he would have liked Friday, but it seems like he came back today with a really strong effort.
He was fine Friday. It wasn't, if anything, he might have been our best player Friday night, given the fact that the quality of chances that we gave up in that first period was ridiculous. If your team is playing its worst period of hockey all year, and that generally means your goaltender is playing pretty good if it's only 4, and I didn't pull him because of his performance. I pulled him because I just felt like it was a situation where I didn't want him, where he's played so well, to get in his own head and start thinking about the 4 goals that have gone in instead of just worrying about the next save.
Sure. What's the hardest part, though, when you get into a game like this, already winning 2, looking for the third, first of 3-3s here to start March? What's the hardest part about getting the guys ready for a game like this?
Well, I say it every 3-3, but the team that wins usually on the 3-3s are the team that plays the smartest. They don't beat themselves, and we had our moments in the first period where we were forcing the issue, and it got better as the game went on, and to me. Sundays aren't going to be about the best team winning. It's going to be about the team that works the smartest, changes efficiently, and finds a way to get their shots. And we get better at that as the game went on.
Indeed, the Phantoms were the smarter team on Sunday, I thought, and also came through with all of their offensive flair and talent as well, leading the league with 3.5 goals per game. The Phantoms finished the season series at 10-2 against the rival Hershey Bears, who are uncharacteristically lousy and in last place in the division, and almost certainly not going to the playoffs. Up next are a couple of games with Bridgeport on Friday and Saturday. The Sound Tigers, 5th place in the Atlantic, just 5 points behind Charlotte for 4th and a playoff spot. Sound Tigers fighting for their playoff lives, but no success against the Phantoms this year. Lehigh Valley leads the season series 5-0, even though most of those games have been really lopsided in Bridgeport's favor on the shot count. Sound Tigers on a 4-game win streak, though. They really are playing with that kind of urgency they need to try to catch up to the Charlotte Checkers. Just 16 games to go for the Phantoms in the regular season, and if the Phantoms win 12 of those 16, they will be the first in franchise history to reach the 50-win mark, and they'll achieve it in only 76 games. Maybe stepping in sometime soon and in the near future to attempt to secure some of those wins along the way could be Anthony Stolarz. What a lousy year for him, but he has a positive outlook. But knee surgery last April when he took an injury in the last game that he played on April 12th, a recurrence of the same knee injury followed up in September a few months later, right before the season and right in training camp. And he's out for almost the entire year, but not for the whole season. And he's here now and practicing with the guys and hoping to get in there for some games, maybe in a couple of weeks.
Here's Anthony Stolarz, and I'm so happy to see this guy back and out there and practicing again. How's it feel to just be back out there and with the team and practicing again, Stoli?
It's definitely good to be back. It's nice to kind of get out there with the guys again, get that competitive edge back. And after 10 months, it's just nice to kind of be back there, be back in the ice and letting loose.
You've only been skating for a few weeks. It hasn't been that long. Obviously, you were skating on your own for a few weeks before you got here.
Yeah, it's kind of been taking it pretty slow, step by step, just skating and then skating goalie gear and going down. So I kind of been just easing into it. And last week I got the A-OK to kind of just everything was a go. And I took last week. I was going to be here, but the team was away in New York. So skated with Brady Robinson, which was probably really good for me. And now this week started with the practices with the team.
Well, how excited were you to get that news? Yeah, you can actually go there and take pucks again and everything.
Yeah, it was exciting for me. It's been a long time coming. I mean, expecting to be back and in the beginning of the season and to get hurt a week before training camp was a tough pill to swallow, but to get that news after these past 6 months, it was really good feeling.
This year as a whole, or 10 months as you say, I mean, are these the longest 10 months you've ever gone through?
Yeah, probably. It's definitely been tough. I mean, I know if I haven't really been hurt. The only injury I've really had where I've been out long term during the season was when I got my calf sliced in junior.
Yeah, you got the slice,
yeah. So that's really the only injury that I've sustained where I've missed significant time in the season. And you know, just it was tough, especially at first, just to watch because I was so close to being back and so close to being out there with the guys, whether it was in Philly or Lehigh Valley. And you know, once I kind of got over that, to just kind of have to worry about myself and worry about, you know, only what I can control and just going out there and rehabbing and doing everything I can to make a return this year.
I hope you take this in the right way, in the joking way, and I'm sure you're joking about it, but in your car, who injures themselves in their car? That's just so weird. And I mean, it ended up, you know, hurting you for so much this season, but that's just bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of a fluky thing, but at the same time, I like to think of it as a blessing in disguise because it wasn't as violent of an injury. It didn't happen, you know, twisting my knee where I was trying to make a push on the ice. Obviously, something wasn't fully healed in there, so maybe it was a good thing that it just kind of happened on a small movement like that. And we were able to, you know, repair it and give it the proper time to heal this time, and you know, now it's all good.
This was a week before the season started when you were still rehabbing from the previous knee injury, which was last April. So it was actually your second knee surgery. Was this kind of a recurrence of the same injury, or do you look at this as a different injury?
No, it was the same injury.
Same thing. Yeah. So, what's the rehab process like now? You when you re-injure it. Now you know it's going to take longer because it didn't get all the way healed the first time around.
Yeah, so I couldn't walk, put any weight on my leg for 2 months. I was on crutches for 2 months, and I couldn't bend it past 90 degrees for 3 months. So it was definitely stiff once I got off the brace. I was in a leg brace for a while. They kind of locked it. That made sure I didn't go past 90. So once that got taken off, I just kind of had to rework it again and kind of loosen things up and try to strengthen the muscles around it and just kind of, you know, slowly and gradually just, you know, kind of get back to form.
Here you are in March, but when this happened initially, you don't know if March is going to definitely be the timetable. For all you know, there could be some hiccups along the way. You might miss the entire season. This is actually good news in its own way that you made it back here when you did.
Yeah, I mean, I think end of November, early December, they kind of gave me a good indication that there was a chance I could come back.
But you thought you might not.
Yeah, I mean, in the back of my mind, I always wanted to come back this year. You know, it was definitely in the back of my mind that I wouldn't come back. There was that chance, but I kept telling myself that, you know, you're going to come back, you're going to get some games at the end of the year. It's all going to work out. And once they kind of gave me that indication that there was a chance of that, I just kind of put my nose to the grindstone and got out there and did everything I could to try to get back. You know, did cardio at the gym in my apartment, and I was doing blood flow restriction training with Sal and Jimmy in Philly, and I was doing yoga in Vincera.
Wow.
So I was doing a lot of things to make sure that, you know, I was ready to go.
It's hard to stay motivated, though, isn't it? I mean, you're all alone, and it's just a grind one day after another doing all these different things. I mean, how are things in your head when you're going through all that?
It wasn't too bad. I think after the first month or two, I kind of just crushed a lot of Netflix, watched some hockey, and it was when I was on my crushers phase. But after that, and I was able to move around. I mean, I'm pretty close with a lot of the guys in Philly, so I know there are times that they'd have a morning skate at Voorhees, and I'd have my rehab there as well, and I'd go grab a pregame meal with them, or after practice, I'd, you know, go hang out with some of the guys. So it kind of kept it interesting, and I come up here two or three times.
Yeah, I was going to say you came here too.
Yeah, I come up here when the team had two home games just to try to, you know, show face and get to know some of the new guys. And, you know, it's just nice seeing the guys again and being around them.
Hang around and play some video games and all of that. what do you think about playing games? I mean, there's no timetable, but obviously this is a goal of yours, so everyone's asking, when's he going to play a game?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I want to play as soon as possible. You know, I didn't come here to practice. I want to, you know, I want to get out there. I want to play games. I want to, you know, have that feeling again where, you know, I can just let loose and, you know, battle for the guys. And, you know, I just miss that feeling. And, you know, I definitely want to play here. I know these guys. I'm familiar with them. And, you know, I think it would be good to, you know, challenge myself, get back out there, and get right after it.
You seem so positive now. I know you're excited to be here. When it first happened, that's, you know, before you even had it looked at and all of that, that's tough. That's really hard because you know you're in real trouble.
Yeah, you know, when it first happened, you kind of, you know, you're always going through. You know,
that's a depression. There.
Yeah, you're kind of going through all the negative thoughts you possibly can, and yeah, there was a little bit of stage of depression. You know, obviously, I knew how big of a year this was for me, and fortunately enough, I'm hopefully able to salvage some of it towards the end of the year. And I mean, there's still a lot of season left, so. You know, like I said, I want to get out there, get some games in, and try to make my mark on this team.
You chat with a guy like Ghost, who, you know, he went through a similar knee thing.
Yeah, I mean, I stayed actually when I was with Brady, I stayed with him for the entire week, and you know, he's my best friend. So I'm seeing him every day, talking to him, going, hanging out with him as much as I can.
Stoli, welcome back. Good to see you. Can't wait to see you out there in a game, too.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
The presence of Stoli, the goalie, makes it three goalies now who are on the ice during practices, and you only have the two nets and you have to share them. So that makes it kind of tough. But, of course, that includes the two who are fully healthy and actually available to play games. That's John Muse and Dustin Dekarski. The Flyers have liked John Muse so much that they signed him to an NHL contract the previous week, which is a big compliment to him. He was on an AHL contract before. Other contract news this week, the Flyers announcing a multi-year contract extension for defenseman TJ Brennan. Has already played 2 years for Lehigh Valley, now locked in for at least a couple more. Great to hear. A good guy who is a leader in the locker room and on the ice. 146 career goals as an AHL defenseman is 20 away for TJ Brennan from the all-time D-man record of 166 goals. That's held by AHL Hall of Famer and former Philadelphia Phantoms great John Slaney, who scored more than half of his goals with the Phantoms. Brennan is likely to break that record as a member of the Phantoms and might do so next year. He's 20 away, remember. He's a Philly area guy and enjoys playing in his home region and with this organization that means so much to him and in this caliber of facility. And oh, by the way, on top of that, with a team this good that looks to be championship Calder Cup contenders, not just for this season, but potentially for future seasons to come as well. That's the hope anyway. Phantoms' magic number to clinch a playoff spot right now is at 18. That's points that they acquire combined with points missed by fifth place Bridgeport. That's the first team outside the playoff cutoff, which is why we refer to Bridgeport when we talk about the magic number. With back-to-back wins in regulation on Friday and Saturday, if the Phantoms do that in their home-and-home series directly against Bridgeport, the Phantoms would cut that magic number from 18 down to 10 in just 2 days. Of course, the Phantoms have significantly loftier expectations and goals than that. Home ice advantage, a division crown, maybe an AHL regular season title, and the Kilpatrick Trophy. All are extremely realistic. The magic number just means you clinched fourth place. You locked in a playoff spot in fourth. And for this Phantoms team, that's practically an afterthought. We can still look at the number, though, and enjoy watching it dwindle down to zero. And it's going to make its way down and maybe even down to single digits on the other side of this weekend for all we know. Phantoms Friday night at home against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, and then Saturday night on the road in a rematch at the affiliate of the New York Islanders. Sunday back at home for the Phantoms and a 5 p.m. showdown against the Binghamton Devils. Phantoms looking to extend a 4-game win streak and a 12-game home ice point streak at 10-0-2, but will try to do it without one of their top players. Nick Obey-Cubell has to finish off a 2-game suspension for a hit that he dealt against Connor Hobbs last Friday in the 7-6 win against Hershey. I didn't think the hit was that bad, but you definitely noticed it, and it ended up leaving Hobbs with a presumed concussion and upper body injury. The league looked at the video, deemed the suspension worthy on a check to the head by Obey-Cubell. So he's out, but Misha Vorobyev and TJ Brennan and the rest of the hottest and perhaps best team in the American Hockey League are indeed back at it on another upcoming busy weekend. Be sure to catch select Phantoms game broadcasts live on Flyers Radio 24/7, including this Friday at 7 against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers and this Saturday at 7:30 in a rematch on the road at Bridgeport, Connecticut. That'll do it for this edition of the Phantoms Report. From PPL Center in downtown Allentown, I'm Bob Rotruck.
Hi, fans. This is Anthony Stolarz of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Listen to the games all season long with Bob Road Truck.